All right, everybody.
What is the podcast?
Sophie's itching a lot. Hello, everybody. This is Matt Maher. I'm discombobulated because it's a beautiful rainy day. I'm here with the beautiful. Like, no, I'm not kidding. Like, you've modeled before. Kelly Sue Milano, everyone.
Hi. That's a nice intro.
It sounds like you're related to Alyssa.
Doesn't it? Alyssa. I wish I was.
You have modeled, though, before, right?
The term model is... That's generous. I don't know that I haven't professionally modeled or anything like that.
You've modeled in Vegas, like
no, not that
at 2 in the morning.
Not even that. Even that's probably more lucrative than the modeling that I was doing. It was more like, you know, the neighborhood dentist needs somebody to be on their advertisement postcard or whatever.
That is so. Let's just call Kelly Sue. She'll know what to do. Exactly. That rhymed. I didn't even mean to. I'm going to turn down our mics a little bit. They'll keep talking. It's okay. Fine. I don't edit anything out because I'm lazy, Kelly. So
I
we
love
just,
it. Well, that's going to be probably dangerous for me because well, I get going and who knows what's going to
come
out.
I wonder if you're going to talk more Southern by the end of this show.
Probably. I mean, being around you is already kind of...
It's true. You're going to go to your dinner party and they're going to be like, where did you come from?
And I'm going to say, I came... From the South.
You came from the South. You did.
Of Olympic.
We are, I have to say, y'all, this is, we're recording. I think these shows are going to air. It's going to air actually in 2 days. It is a blustery, rainy day here in Los Angeles.
It's nice.
It is so nice. This is the weather. I brought this weather from Oklahoma because this is what it was doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm interested. How do you get inspired for your hair? Because, KDD, we're going off here. So, like, because your hair, it's like short and it's over to the side.
Yeah.
And honestly, I know a lot of lesbians that this would look really butch on that wear this same hairstyle.
Yeah.
But with you, it actually looks really, and I know some lesbians right now, they're going to say, that sounds terrible the way you say that. You do not look, and I'm going to say this, like with a lot of I'm setting this show up. God bless it. With a lot of lesbians,
yes,
that have short hair, it makes them look a little bit more masculine-ish.
Sure.
With yours, it actually looks even more feminine.
I appreciate that.
Not that
that
that's a good thing or a bad thing.
No, not at all.
I think, isn't that a fear of a lot of straight girls? Not that there's anything wrong being lesbian.
Right.
But if they're single,
absolutely,
they want men to approach them.
Absolutely. And there have been times where I've thought, maybe I need to go back to those sort of girl next door milkmaid long hair that
I have. Guys appeal to that more?
You know, I can't tell. I haven't heard either way, but I've kind of gone through this year. I've sort of gone through this sort of space where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And however anybody wants to feel about it is totally fine. The good news is that it has paid off because I ended up with this incredible haircut that is, I can credit it to the lovely Megan Titus, who I actually...
Oh, my dog's in the cords. Sorry,
she's
Sophie.
She's tangled up in there.
She just walks the wrong way.
Who was actually referred... I was referred to her by Lisa Schwartz, oddly enough.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so weird. I have a reminder in my phone to call her today.
Yeah.
About doing a podcast.
She's so lovely.
She
saved me, actually. This was a hair emergency. So here's what's funny about having this haircut.
I forgot you're good friends with her.
Yeah.
Her and I've been wanting to get together for a drink. So the three of us really...
There we go.
That is a party right
there. That's going to be the trifecta.
It's a girl's night out.
Exactly.
Letting it all hang. Megan Hine will invite you too. Because I know Megan and Patrick listen to the show, I think, more than anybody. So I know Megan's probably saying, I want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to see Megan too. That'd be great. Yeah. So the funny story about this hair thing was that and this is one of the perils of having short hair. It had gotten a little long and I wasn't able to see my usual person because she was in Orange County and I was living in Venice and it was just really hard for me to get down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what, I'll just pop into a barber shop and they can just trim kind of like my neck and just clean it up to get me a couple more weeks before I can go down to Fullerton. And so I go and I said, if you could just sort of like trim up the perimeter, that would be great. And I left and was horrified. It was the most horrible haircut I'd ever seen.
Oh,
it was like a bowl cut. It was like an awful step cut, you know. It was terrible. I cried and cried and I put a thing out on Facebook and said, friends, I need somebody that you trust. Like, and I mean it. And Lisa said, go to see Megan.
Her hair looks ridiculous.
Her hair is, it's made of like golden dreams. It's gorgeous.
With her eyelashes. Yeah. And she puts a right color right behind her eyelash, so it looks like a backdrop of a sunset.
She's nailing it with the hair and the eyeshadow and the eyes and eyelashes combo.
Just in life.
Yeah. So
you went to Megan Titus and she just...
I couldn't believe it because my hair was so short and I just said, I don't know what you can do, but please do something. And she said, okay, I can handle this. And I left and it was the first day. I actually wore a hat there because I had worn a hat every single day to cover up this haircut.
Uh-huh.
And I loved my hair so much, I forgot my hat in the salon. And she was running it out and was like, you forgot your hat. And I was like, this is a really cute, like Mary Tyler Moore moment.
Aww.
You know, where it's like, oh, the end of the show is so happy and her hair looks so good. She forgot her hat. So that was good. But yeah.
And you go to her now.
I go to her now. And that she is the one who does my hair.
And it's not in Fullerton.
It's not in Fullerton.
Good God, that's far away.
That's a really, yeah.
Do you feel like, because you grew up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did you feel like it took a long time for you? Because, you know, when I moved to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Or I moved to California from Oklahoma. It was... I had to get a new dentist. I had to get a new eye doctor. I have a great eye doctor. He's really hot. straight man. But Dr. Stiebel. Ooh. And it reminds me because, you know, you get a sty in your eye. So I remember Stiebel.
Stiebel.
Yeah.
Perfect.
His ass is something you want to just put a plate on.
And where's he at?
And where's he's at Positive Ions.
Okay.
Get it?
Yeah. Positive Ions.
It's on Melrose.
Yes. I've seen it.
Yeah. Great doctor.
I don't need glasses, but, you know.
Well, everybody needs their eyes checked.
That's true.
By a hot Jewish doctor.
Done.
Who's married. With a kid. I know. Sorry, gay DD. I'm off and running. Your hair just, we haven't talked about anything on the list. I don't have a list.
That's okay.
We started this episode late because I was making a fucking soup. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm making this kale soup. I just have to get it on and boil.
And it smells amazing.
It does smell amazing. Hopefully it doesn't burn. But anyway, I don't know what I was talking about. It doesn't matter. We're talking about good stuff now. So now that's another quote. I don't know if you listen to the show. It's okay if you haven't. I always ask guests, tell people how we know each other.
And I can do that.
Yeah.
So we know each other because I was dating the wonderful Ryan White, who was friends with the lovely Lindsay Hendrickson. Lindsay Leffler.
Dear Maddie, episode one.
Dear Maddie, episode one.
Episode one for you folks.
She's fantastic.
She's fantastic.
We went to a party at a place where Lindsay was living off of National.
That was with me.
In Palms.
Yes. That was at Palms. We call that apartment the Colonel.
The Colonel. Exactly.
The Colonel.
And it was 4th of July.
It was 4th of July.
It was 4th of July 2004. And all of us were freaking out because the very first iPod just came out.
Oh. Oh.
I know. And Lindsay was freaking out because she had gotten they had the mini.
Yes.
And it was the pink one.
Yes.
And she's like, look at how cool this is. And we're like, oh, man. Let's listen to some music on the iPod.
We're a walking commercial. Weren't we a product of consumerism?
Oh, my gosh. And it was amazing. And, you know, Ryan was still doing sound for, I think he was still doing sound for Improv Shmimprov at that point. And so he had all these playlists that he brought.
Yeah.
And we were like, we can hook up that music to this iPod and we can play it. Like, we were losing.
It was like you felt like you were living in the future.
You did. You really did. So that was how we first met each other. And then, of course, we were like, oh my gosh, where have we been our entire lives?
Because you're so... I feel like... Are you... Because you're pretty. I'm just going to say it. Do you feel like... Because you're one of those people. You're so pretty as a gay man. I just want to be around you. Like, I know when girls are pretty is when I look at them and say, I want to do their makeup. And I ended up doing your makeup.
That's right.
So, like, I feel like you get a lot of gay guys who like you.
You know what? Yes. That's the short answer is yes.
We love you. We are on this train, this Kelly Sue train.
Hey, you know what? I love that. I love you guys.
That's good. Now, now another reason that I wanted to have you on the show is because I'm just moving the wire so I can see, is because I think of you as a feminist. Do you need a Kleenex?
No.
Okay. I think of you as a feminist because, like, I read your post.
Yeah.
And because, and we're going to talk about your comic book in a minute. Absolutely. But, like, but do you, I don't know. I don't know why. I wanted to have you on, and yeah. I should have prepared you for this. But no, I just wanted a conversation about feminism. So I wanted to ask you, like, what is feminism for you? And do you consider yourself a feminist?
I think I do consider myself a feminist. It's so funny because I sometimes have a hard time with that word just because it's, there's so many misconceptions about being a feminist, and mm-hmm. it, so often people think that it means that you hate men or that, mm-hmm. You know, you just want to be about women or mm-hmm. you just want to be about, you want women to take over the world or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I really think that feminism is more about, just there being equality between the sexes. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be about something that this is for men or this is for women, and kind mm-hmm. of just like blurring that line a little mm-hmm. bit. And stepping out of, you know, there's still a lot of like role definition for women, and coming from a marriage and coming from working in, a corporate space and, you know, just even in this town, in the industry of Hollywood, it means very different things to be a man and a woman sometimes. And I think that kind of stretching those limits and those boundaries and those definitions is really mm-hmm. important right now. And it's getting talked about a lot, I think, especially in, coincidentally enough, the industry of comics.
Well, I was just going to say that.
Games,
I mean,
yeah.
'Cause so, and I want to talk a little bit about, so, what it's like for you being a female yeah. comic book writer. 'Cause I know they've made a big, huge deal, you know, 'cause they're doing the Wonder Woman film, which
right.
I'm sure DC's going to fuck up because they fuck up everything that I love. They're not Marvel.
Yeah.
basically, it's kind of true, but, you know, it was such a big deal to have a female director of that because
yeah.
there's never been a female director. And,
yeah.
and I remember, you know, when it's still a big deal when, female, what's her name? The author Nina, who wrote for Wonder Woman. I'm blanking. I could go up there and look, but I'm not.
Blanking.
No,
too.
It's not. But I remember it was like, it wasn't that long ago where it mm-hmm. was like maybe 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Where the first female actually wrote, like took the helm and wrote Wonder Woman, which mm-hmm. you're kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, really? It took that long?
Yeah.
So I say that, and I'm not kidding. This was, I mean, I think this was in the 2000s that this finally happened.
Definitely.
So for you, like, mm-hmm. what is it like being a female writer in comics?
It's so funny because we get asked that.
Well, first of all, we should pause.
Okay.
Tell everybody what your comic is. I'm going to check on my soup.
Oh, okay, great. Awesome. I'm just going to be talking to this. I'll talk to this empty room. So he has to go stir the soup. So the comic book that I write and co-create is called Hex 11, and it's published under a publishing label that I started with my two friends and now partners last year called Hex Comics. And Hex 11 is created by Lisa Weber, who is also the illustrator. Our other partner is Lindley, who is our producer and editor. And Hex 11 is kind of, our elevator pitch is that it's Harry Potter meets Blade Runner.
I got to read this.
Because
it's a female protagonist, too,
right? It is a female protagonist.
This is everything I love.
Yeah, it's a female protagonist, but it is an ensemble cast. And it follows the story of a young witch named Eleanor Kent in the world.
She's a
of
witch?
She's a witch.
I love witches. They're my favorite
Man. Well, wait until you hear this.
Vampires I give two shits about.
Yeah. Vampires are, the only vampire movie I ever loved was Interview with a Vampire. And
that's a great film.
I haven't met any vampire thing I've loved.
I like The Lost Boys.
Oh, The Lost Boys was good. You're right. You're right.
But I just went blank. The movie that was, like, so formidable to me. The Witch movie.
The Witch movie?
The movie that I love so much. Well, yes, Hocus Pocus.
Oh,
I love Hocus Pocus.
We saw really good Hocus Pocus cosplay at Kamikaze.
Oh, I'm sure. I saw some great, too. But, no, I just went and saw the El Capitan, and the director spoke at it, and they had, crazy.
Fantastic.
But, no, well, I'm thinking of Coven, which is a male witch movie, which is the most homoerotic.
Oh.
It's just like, it's so gay, but not gay. And it's called like The Coven. No, what's The Craft?
The Craft.
Oh my, which
oh
I've
my
heard
gosh.
They're remaking that movie.
No.
They are remaking The Craft,
no.
Which does not need to be, but I just saw the original, like, a couple months ago on, I was like, this is a fucking good
movie. That movie,
movie
is amazing.
That movie's amazing. That was my favorite. When, like, you know, because that came yeah. out because The Lost Boys came out.
Yes, exactly.
And so they started making all the, and The Craft, for me, I was just like, this is it.
I loved
and
The
I
Craft.
Loved, and that made me get into Bewitched.
Yeah. I and loved, like, The Craft. And it's so perfectly 90s.
Yes.
That's
yes.
so, like, they nail it.
It's, they nail it.
They nail that decade.
So the whole point anyway, is, I'm going to start reading your comic because I'd love it.
Yes. So Hex 11 is in the world of the book, magic has just been discovered as a new technology. So through advances in science and technology, we found a way to access this power of the universe. So we can now download magical abilities the way we would download an app to our phone today. So it's a near distant future, semi dystopian. And
it's kind of like the God particle, like what science,
yeah,
actual
exactly.
scientists are. Yeah, that's what
exactly.
we're finding out.
And as a result, the people who have always been able to do magic, so like we would know them as maybe the psychics or the tarot readers of today. Mm-hmm. People who have always been magically inclined are now being shoved out of society because now that magic is monetized, there's no way for these people to be controlled. And so they're kind of getting shoved out into this new subculture in a slum called the Hex, which is where our hero Eleanor lives. She's a young witch in training under a master witch named Vera. And in the first issue, at the very beginning of the story, she stumbles across this magical sort of firefight as a result of a failed transaction between a demon mercenary and a black market magic dealer. And she uncovers, completely by accident, this huge conspiracy that the corporatocracy is brewing, as they always do. And from there, the story kind of unfolds as they realize that, you know, there's this massive power that is being sort of created by these huge, powerful corporations and government, and it's going to go bad for the people in the Hex and for the people of the world, really. So
you are going to sell this into a movie. You're going to make so much fucking money from this.
We really hope so. And the reason we hope so is because we have found through... So we did Kamikaze this last weekend. It was not only... Our one-year anniversary.
Well,
but
also,
it was,
too, for people, Kamikaze. It's like Comic-Con. It's smaller. It's in L.A., but it's Stan Lee's.
It's Stan Lee's Comic-Con, and it takes place in downtown L.A. It's a wonderful show.
Anyway, last year was your one-year anniversary.
Yeah, this last weekend was our one-year anniversary. We debuted our first issue at last year's Kamikaze Comic-Con, and we completed our whole first volume, which is 6 issues, in time for our year anniversary, which is what we set out to do, which is so exciting.
So how many issues is that?
6.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. So we've done 9 shows in that year. And the reason why we would love the idea of, you know, if this were ever turned into something like a movie or a TV show is because we've met so many amazing people who have really resonated with the story, which is, you know, at the end of the day, that's the whole reason that we want to do it. So that would be, it would be fantastic if that happened.
She's going to listen to this and say, Maddie, I can't do anything. But one of my really good friends, yeah, I probably shouldn't say this on the air.
Okay.
Remind me that I have a friend who's friends with a producer.
I love it. We just love spreading the story. We love making the story. We love the characters. We love it
now.
All.
Now, where can I, so Hex 11. Where can I, I want to say that I always go to a comic store and buy them, but I don't.
Well,
I download them on my iPad.
It's totally fine that you do that because we're not in comic book stores anyway.
Okay, great. So where do you go?
We are digitally distributed via Comixology, which...
that's who does my DC.
Yeah, exactly. For anybody who doesn't know, Comixology is kind of the iTunes of comics. So we are one of their submit titles, which is really special. And then you can also order print edition, so hard copy comics from our website. You have to pay for shipping. We also have PDF downloads of all of the issues there to buy. And we just made our very first issue free on our website. So anybody who is curious about the series, not sure if they're really into it, can download the first issue for free, read it, realize they love it, and then buy.
And where do they go to do that?
They go to hexcomics.com, which is hexcomix.com.
Okay, this will be in the show notes, everybody. Yeah. So,
and we also have a Kickstarter. We just launched a Kickstarter a couple days ago.
Oh, this is serendipitous.
Yeah, I know. We have 30 days left, and we're doing this Kickstarter
Three people are going to hear this.
I know. Three whole people are going to hear our Kickstarter, but maybe that's three more people that wouldn't have known about it otherwise. Yeah. Anyway, it's the reason we're doing the Kickstarter is because we want to fund the printing of the volume trade paperback, which is all six issues bound into a book.
Oh, cool.
And then the printing costs for the upcoming volume as well. So we all have that going on. So much going on.
What is it? Okay, so many questions. I had a friend who went, mm-hmm. I told you, went to Kamikaze, yeah. Don McCoy, Dear Maddie, episode 5, I believe. Mm-hmm. I just have all my friends.
I love it. That's the best way to do it.
But I always have stuff that goes on the week, and I just got to go to that. Because what's the one in Anaheim, too?
WonderCon.
Never been there either. Yeah. And it's like, I used to want to go to Comic Con, mm-hmm. and I would, like, 12 years ago when I moved to LA, and I never went. And now
it's huge.
It's huge. It's like,
it's a spectacle.
It is a spectacle. So I have a lot of questions. I want to talk about two things. First of all, I want to go back to the question. So what is it like for you? Mm-hmm. Do you feel, is there a different experience as a female being a comic book writer and creator than being a male?
I think
I know you've had your own experience and that's it.
Yeah. And I don't have a frame of reference, but I do notice that people oftentimes, I mean, one of the first shows that we did, the three of us were at our booth and we had a few people come up to us and say, what company do you work for? Because they thought we were booth babes. And we said, oh no, we're the company. We make the book and this is us. And at first they were like, what do you mean? You know? And we said, no, this is us. That's our names on the thing and we make it. So we run into that a lot where people are so surprised that we are three women who are mm-hmm. making this comic. And it was never something that we set out to do. We mm-hmm. didn't set out to be an all female company. Mm-hmm. It was just the way that it happened. We mm-hmm. just so happened to all be women. But the reaction to it is sometimes people either being confused or people being really excited, mm-hmm. which is good, but it also does say something about the temperature of the industry when people are excited and surprised.
They're like excited by
the fact that we're girls making a comic book.
Yes. Yeah. It would be like, yeah, I totally get that with gay stuff.
So yeah.
Do you have gay characters in your comic?
We do. We do.
This is going to be cool.
Yeah, we do. So I mean, my experience as a woman in comics has been, I mean, it's been really wonderful. I haven't mm-hmm. had, there hasn't really been any, I don't have any horror stories about being, you know, mansplained to or anything like that. I mean, that does exist and that does happen, but mm-hmm. we're just like, hey man, we're here and we're into the same things that you're into and we want to tell stories and we want to share in the way that you also want to share and we can all do it. You know, it's meant for everybody and it's meant for every kind of voice. And that's been really cool. We were actually nominated for this year earlier at the Long Beach Comic Expo. We were nominated for the Dwayne McDuffie Award for Diversity in Comics.
Oh, that's great.
Which is really cool. And we were blown away by that. It was an incredible honor.
Because what did you make an effort to be diverse or you just were?
No, it was just kind of, they had said, you know,
you just wanted to write characters.
Yeah, we wanted to write characters that we loved and characters that we identified with. And again, we didn't set out to be all female. We didn't set out to, you know, make a statement about being diverse mm-hmm. or anything like that. And also, you know, diversity is kind of a term that sort of gets tossed around mm-hmm. loosely nowadays. It's become a bit of a buzzword. But we've always just been about like, we want to tell interesting stories and we want to highlight interesting characters. And that's kind of what's gotten us to this point so far, which is really cool.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we're going to answer questions, but I want to ask, so what is it like from someone who started this baby mm-hmm. and now, because it's not a comic book, but with starting the show mm-hmm. and, you know, starting with no one listening and just garnering people and more, what is it like for you to, because I'm assuming now when you mm-hmm. go to things, you have fans.
Yeah, we do.
And so
really cool.
I haven't had that yet. I would love, I would like piss my, if somebody's like, oh, well, I do.
Yeah.
I have Megan and Patrick.
Hey, Megan and Patrick.
They're my fans. They're my biggest fans. No, I have some other people too. But I mean, I've never, they're friends. So right. I haven't like a stranger come up to me and be like, mm-hmm. I love your show.
Yeah.
And so, so what is that like though, to have people respond to that?
It's amazing. It's the ultimate reward. You know, it's what makes, because as you know, getting a project off the ground from nothing, and I had, we are a team of three, and we all came together last year, and I was kind of the last element to the group, and we said, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to put out our first issue in time for this Comic-Con, and we're going to see what happens, you know, and we put a lot of time and a lot of love into it, and we love each other, and we love our work together. So we're like, you know, we'll just see what happens. Mm-hmm. And, that was kind of how it started. So it's like, and then we just went from there, and doing 9 conventions in a year is a juggernaut. It's a ton of work.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Just having somebody come up to you and say, oh my gosh, I met you guys at this con, or my friend told me about your book and I downloaded it on Comixology and it's my favorite comic book. Where was this when I was 15?
Oh, wow.
Things like that is just, I mean, overwhelming. It's so amazing. And it's just, that's the reason to keep going. And we've always said that that is the ultimate mark of success for us as a company and as creators.
I feel like you really have accomplished a lot in a year.
Yeah, we really have. And our year kind of bookended with Kamikaze. And I think today I was just kind of walking around in a haze and in a fog being like, did all of that just happen, or is this like St. Elsewhere? Is this one of those things where I just woke up and it was all a dream or something?
Is that how
St.
Elsewhere ends? I've never seen it.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Spoiler alert. Oh, God.
Well, no, it's not all a dream, so I didn't spoil it. But,
well, so what's next steps?
The next steps are just, we're focusing on this Kickstarter. And we've had a huge show of support, so we have every reason to think that we're going to get there. And
how much money are you trying to raise?
$35,000 in 35 days.
Where are you right now?
We are 12% funded after 5 days, so that's pretty awesome.
12%? What is that, like $7,000?
I guessed.
I'm not
between
good at
5 and 6. So you're close.
That was close.
Yeah, that was really close.
Look at me, Oklahoma learning. We learned some math. Look at that.
I love it. So that's been really great. And we're taking a 2-month break right now. And then...
because you need to breathe.
Because we need... I think Lisa's probably going to sleep for maybe 2 weeks. Because this girl has been
on... No, I know, after summer
camp,
I had to take a rest.
Yeah, she has been on a production schedule that is unbelievable. And she is... I mean, talk about a superhero. She draws. She letters. We have a color assistant, Samantha, who is fantastic, but she assists Lisa with the color. So Lisa also does finishing on the color. I mean, when you pick up that comic book, that is 95% just Lisa.
Oh, that's cool.
And she's just incredible. She's a consummate professional and she's a magician, and I'm blown away by her talents all the time.
I would love for y'all to, whatever. I have ideas, but I would love for you to possibly do like a comic book workshop at my camp at Brave Trails.
I would love to do that.
That
we would
be great.
Love to do
the
that.
Leadership. We'll talk about that after.
Yeah,
the
let's
show.
Talk about that after. I would love that.
So now something else I want to. Sorry, this is gonna. I'm gonna try
no,
to go
that's
short.
Okay.
I almost feel like I could have you back every week, Kelly Sue.
Okay, I would love to do that. Let's do it.
My mother's Bonnie Sue. So
oh, that's right. We've bonded over this before. I think
we have you because you're a Southern.
Yeah.
Well, by default, parents are, you're Southern California.
Yeah, exactly.
But your parents are Southern. So well, at Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving's coming up. Sorry, mm-hmm. Random. Do y'all call it dressing or stuffing?
My grandma calls it dressing. My mom calls it stuffing.
Nope, your mom's talking Yankee.
I know.
Yankee.
That's so funny. No, my grandma says dressing, and it was actually really hysterical. This is just a side note, just to illuminate how colorful. I'll say colorful. My grandma is. I told her that the year that I got diagnosed with celiac disease. Mm-hmm. I went to Thanksgiving and I wasn't really able to have anything because, I mean, she makes her gravy with probably flour and Wondra and Accent and all of these other things, right? And she was getting ready to give me some gravy and I said, you know what, I can't have any of that. And she said, why not? And I said, well, I was diagnosed with celiac disease this year. And she said, what's that? And I said, it's an autoimmune disease where I can't process gluten. And she said, honey, that sounds like something rich people made up.
Jake Anthony doesn't listen to my show because she's a whore. But I'm going to tell her that. She's going to love it. But celiac is a real thing.
It is a real thing.
I was going to give you some of the soup, but now I'm trying to think if it has bread in it.
If it has bread in it, I can't have it. But that's fine.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But anyway. So does she make, though, is it cornbread dressing? Mm-hmm. Or is it like that peppery, like?
No, it's, well, my mom does, what's the, oh gosh, she's done this out of the box for so
Jiffy?
Many years. No, it's the same lady who makes croutons. Oh, I forget. But my grandma does make the cornbread kind, but she doesn't do sweet cornbread.
Oh, yeah, I do sweet cornbread.
Yeah, she doesn't do the sweet one. She does the whatever that
is. Jake does the regular cornbread. Yeah, we're used to sweet. I think that's, yeah, that's yeah. more of a, I love it. I love talking to people. I could have a show about dressings.
Let's do that.
Not stuffing, because that's fucking Yankee shit.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have that.
We don't do that.
No.
Now, okay. So something else I do want to talk about is that one of the things that is that you recently were divorced. Not recently. How long have you been divorced now?
Well, we separated on New Year's Day of this year.
Okay. And so recent.
Yeah. So it's being processed right now.
Oh, you're still not even finalized.
It's not even finalized.
Okay. So how long, many years were you married to your husband, ex-husband?
We were married for 2.5 years. We were together for 6. And I actually originally met him when I was 15.
Oh,
so
wow.
We also went to high school together. But we didn't date at that time.
No. But you wrote an article on Hello Giggles. Mm-hmm. It's right at hellogiggles.com, right?
Yes, exactly.
If I find it, I'll try to put that in the liner notes. But it was just really why I first got the inclination of, oh, Kelly would be a great guest for the show, is that it was a very honest and not one-sided view of divorce.
Yeah.
It was a way of looking at least what I thought of as a child coming from a parents having bitter divorce and very he said, she said, and knowing several friends that are still going through that. Mm-hmm. Granted, all those people have kids. I think that really throws a wrench in things when you have kids and you do not.
No.
But still, it wasn't. It was almost a loving way of talking about divorce.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was your intention in writing it. But so I'm interested, what, first of all, how did you connect with Hello Giggles? Did you just say, I wanted to write this? Or?
Well, the way that it had come about was, so it probably goes without saying that the immediate months after going through a divorce, and really just going through a divorce in general, is going to be difficult, no matter how amicable the situation is. And luckily, my ex-husband and I are still friends and we still care about each other a lot. And our situation was really, it was really kind of in the moment, a dream scenario.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to come together, as the article describes, we were able to come together on that day that we decided to officially separate and say, you know, we both deserve happiness and maybe that's not with each other. And I think the most loving thing that we can do in this moment is to say, you know what? We gave it our best shot. Go and find that person that is your person.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a, you know, so many people, especially I came from a divorce that was really ugly. Aaron and I had both said, you know, this doesn't need to be.
Aaron is your ex-husband.
Yes. Okay. This doesn't need to be that way. We can do this as friends if we commit to it, because it really doesn't need to be, it's nobody's fault. It doesn't need to be a war. There doesn't need to be blame. Especially
no one has
when
to be right.
Nobody has to be right. And actually, more importantly, nobody needs to be wrong.
Oh,
it's no one's, it really is no one's fault. You know, it takes two to enter a relationship and it takes two to leave that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is not a blanket statement for divorce. I mean, when there's, you know, when there's abuse involved, when there's
obviously,
you know,
yeah.
things like that involved, that's a whole different story. But for our experience, that was how it went. And it didn't mean that it was any less devastating or painful. And so in those, mm-hmm. the first months of this year were really difficult. And my birthday was in May. And I said, you know, I am a writer. So the writing is the way that I cope with a lot of things. And I had said to myself, you know, I have a lot of things that I want to say about this, about divorce, and about the end of a relationship like that. And I said, for my birthday, I'm going to submit this pitch to Hello Giggles, which is a website that I really love. And just do that, whether they publish it or not, doesn't matter. But to have written this entire thing is going to be therapeutic, and to submit it, that's just what I'm going to do for myself for my birthday. And I did, and they loved it, and they ended up publishing it, which was really, really cool. And it was kind of a love letter to myself and a love letter to my ex-husband, and just to that experience. And I ended up getting a lot of messages from other women who had gone through similar situations, and they were just saying, thank you so much. Or from women who said, you know, this is something I've been, these are the things that I want to say. I feel like I'm in a marriage that's going in that direction, and to know that there's life on the other side of that is really inspiring. So that was huge.
Mm. I think that too, that I feel like that's really one of the big jobs is me being a therapist, is people mm-hmm. say, oh, you know, you help people think of ideas, or you yeah. solve their problems. And I often say, no, I just help give them the words that mm-hmm. they're too hurt to say.
Yeah.
And I think that's for you. You were able to give people words
exactly.
that they're just wrapped in hurt, and they're not able to just mm-hmm. literally speak.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. I love that.
Well, you're welcome.
Oh,
you can take it.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to write more for Hello Giggles? You should.
I would love to.
They should hire you.
Whatever,
you're writing comic books. Fuck them. Fuck them, Hello Giggles.
I would love that. The Hello Giggles community is fantastic. So if I can contribute more work, that would be wonderful.
It's a very feminist. I mean, it's all female driven.
And I like I love their sort of house rules, where it's about, this is about, because one of the things about the community of women is that for a long time we have kind of, I don't know if it's just been by accident or what, but oftentimes, especially in this town, women are kind of, I don't know, they're sort of nurtured in the direction of like seeing each other as competition.
Oh, yeah.
Competition for jobs and competition
for
men.
Everywhere in life.
Yeah.
But I think it's under a microscope here.
Absolutely. And that's what's cool about Hello Giggles. It's about, you know, it's not one woman is better than another woman. It's she's awesome and she is also awesome and I'm mm-hmm. also awesome. And that I really feel like is sort of the headline at Hello Giggles, which is what makes it such a cool place for ladies.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, let's dive into some questions,
okay.
shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, all right. These are real questions, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Everybody always, they're like, are they fake questions? I'm like, no, they're real so
How
far.
How cool.
Although, I'm telling you, I say this every week. God bless it. I just want one week where I have like 20 questions and I can choose. And this week, it's like Sunday afternoon and I'm like, I need some fucking questions from Kelly. So, come on, people. Send them. DearMaddieShow.com. All right. First question. Dear Maddie, this is from Janie, age 28.
Hi, Janie.
Dear Janie, I've been trying to get my boyfriend to just be better about being more social.
Okay.
We met online. Okay. Otherwise, I don't think he ever would have talked to me.
Uh-huh.
He's a self-proclaimed introvert, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I think he needs a life of his own. He says that he's fine doing things just with me and his one other guy friend, but I feel like his shyness is detrimental to his life. How do I help him? This is Janie, 28. I'm interested why she thinks it's detrimental. There's always more questions.
I know it. There's a question that breeds questions.
So Janie, she wants to get her boyfriend. He's an introvert.
She
needs to get him out more. Have you ever dealt with that? Or
gosh.
You feel like the people I've known that you date are social as shit.
This is actually probably a great question for me, because I'm usually the introvert that wants
really?
To stay home.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have, I have an extended social circle of people that I know, but I have just a handful of really close friends.
Uh-huh.
I can be a homebody. And I think that it's all about baby steps. It's all about, you know, if you want to have a social situation with your significant other and they're an introvert, it's about, let's go to a dinner party with 8 people, not let's go to Coachella, you know,
yeah.
like that's, and I think
that's a good distinction.
Yeah.
That's a great distinction.
And I think that it's all about baby steps for an introvert. So I think it's just kind of, it's like reintroducing a zoo animal to the wild. You have to do it.
That's a great way to put it.
You know, it's because introverts are sort of by default are easily overwhelmed by a lot of energy.
Well, yeah. And Janie, I think I mentioned it before on the show. I wish I could remember where I read it. I once read this article from someone who's an introvert, and mm-hmm. it was such a great way. It was online, obviously,
right?
But they describe so beautifully what an introvert is, and
yeah.
that it's not someone that's shy.
No,
it's someone, and maybe this you can ask your boyfriend.
Yes.
This. It's someone who actually becomes fueled by doing things with themselves, by
yeah.
going on walks or they're reading mm-hmm. or whatever, but kind of going in
yeah.
is actually what propels them to be a better person. Where
exactly.
for other people like myself, I need a little bit of that,
mm-hmm.
But I also need connection with other people.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like, a little bit like, Jenny, maybe it's a conversation of asking him, like, hey, you said you're an introvert. What is that? What is that for you? What does that look like? Because he might surprise you and say, like, you know, I love going to like a concert where maybe I don't know anybody, but like you and I go to a concert that still maybe feels like that's not being out in a crowd, or maybe it does.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree with you. I think that is about him meeting her and so doing the small steps. But also, Janie, I just want to make sure that you're acknowledging that he is an introvert.
Yeah.
And maybe you didn't know this going in, but I'm imagining you did.
Yeah.
Who knows, though? Online dating is so difficult because people could say whatever.
True.
I could say I'm a black woman online and meet somebody.
Exactly.
So
I could do the same thing. And I also think, too, approaching relationships in this way, obviously you want to nurture your significant other to be the best that they can be. But I think when you come up against things like, you know, I'm worried that this behavior can be detrimental to his life or what have you. Also kind of maybe taking a personal inventory and seeing like, what is it for me about that that makes me think that that could be a problem?
Ooh, yeah, like that.
Yeah, and just kind of thinking like,
because it's his thing, but you're kind of taking it personally, Jane.
What is that? What does that trigger in me? And that's the beautiful part about being in relationships is they're, you know, those, they're literally grounds for the largest, again, another buzzword, spiritual growth that we do as humans happen in our intimate relationships. So kind of doing a check-in there too might be helpful as well.
Have you had a lot of therapy?
I've been in therapy since I was 5.
I was gonna say, you like are so fucking together. You are together. You could run this show.
Oh, man, I don't know about that. But well, if that works for Janie, that's all that matters to me.
Damn. All right, Janie. Okay, well, there you go. Do you need a refill? Are you thirsty? You good?
I'm good. I'm great.
All right. Okay. Let us know, Janie. All right. This question is from Tyler. Dear Maddie, this is Tyler, who's 15 years old.
Tyler.
Well, I don't know. Every time a teenager writes in, I'm like, why the fuck are you listening to this show?
You know what? You're making a great choice, Tyler.
Great choice. Yeah. Okay. Dear Maddie, what's the best way to impress another girl that I like? Oh. We have one class together, but I go to a large school. Other than the class, I'm not sure she notices me. How do I approach her and ask her out without it seeming random? Mm-hmm. This is from Tyler, age 15. Tyler, I don't know. I just, you know, I meet guys on Grindr. I don't. I'm kidding. Tyler, do not go on Grindr. You're not going to meet a girl on Grindr.
You're definitely not. Asking out the girl that you like, don't go on Grindr.
Don't. That's step one. Well, again, okay. So, again, I know I keep talking about how pretty you are.
Oh, that's sweet.
But, like, have you ever, when you were younger, could you, like, a guy was approaching and you could tell they were, like, nervous or, like,
you know what's funny, and I think that this is probably just a credit to my mother, bless her heart, Karen Sue.
My aunt, that was Karen Sue.
My mom was so much about, and she raised 3 daughters who are all 3 very beautiful inside and out. But she raised us all to never identify with our looks.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we identified with, you know, with our talents or with, you know, being loving and being kind. And so I thank her for that all the time. But it was kind of to my detriment during those sensitive teen years, because I just felt like I was a giant nerd. I went home and I told my mom I was nominated for Winter Formal Princess my sophomore year. And she called the school because she thought I was lying.
That's hilarious.
And I think it was really just maybe her way of, I don't know what, so whenever boys would like, I mean, when I was asked out to, you know, my first homecoming, I didn't even realize it was happening. But you know, he was like, hey, you know, what are you doing the night of homecoming? And I said, I don't know. I really like TRL and I'm really into what the Hanson brothers are doing or whatever. So I'm probably going to do that.
Are you talking about TRL with Carson Daly?
Yeah. On MTV. Tyler, you won't remember what that is probably, but you know, I'm really into, and I think it was actually called Total Request Live at that time.
That's when things had their, it was still Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Exactly. It TRL. Wasn't any of this abbreviated stuff. So anyway, and he's like, no, like, I want you to be my date. And I said, your date to what? And he said, the homecoming dance. So I have a little bit of a skewed view of being asked out in high school, but I can say this for Tyler, who's 15 and likes this girl. First of all, have a plan for what you want to do if she says yes.
That's what okay.
That's a backup plan because, you know, I think that there's, you need to be ready.
A lot of times, too, you're focused on just the asking.
Yeah.
And then you say, hey, do you want to go out? And they're like, sure. What do you want to do? And you're like, oh, shit. That's a great.
And then also, just know, and I mean, these are really the only two things I can say. And I know, you know, so much about today. It's like, be yourself or whatever. But really be yourself. Have a plan if she says yes. And know that it's okay if she says no. It's going to hurt. It's going to be a bummer. And you're going to get over it. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, girls are people too. And they like to take in those compliments. They like to be asked out. And, you know, maybe lead with a joke. That's what I do.
I think... you know, leave the joke, Tyler, like maybe even if you feel like you want to test the waters, mm-hmm. maybe even start a conversation with her.
There you
a little
go.
Bit. Not just like, hey, we've never talked before. Yeah. Let's go out. Because mm-hmm. she doesn't know you, Tyler. This is what I'm assuming.
She doesn't know Tyler.
I mean, yeah. So that's what he's saying. He goes to a big school. So
that's different.
Maybe it's like. You know, the teacher talks about something funny happens in class yeah. or whatever. Maybe it's like, or something, a homework assignment is like, and you're leaving class and mm-hmm. you say, hey, what do you think about
yes.
da 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 da? And you kind of start a little bit of small talk.
Yeah, that's actually great. I love that.
Maybe build that for like a good month.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks.
And there you go.
And then it kind of builds like, then, you know, maybe it's like when she goes to class, she's like, hey, Tyler. And you start to talk a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you go in with making some jokes and then like, hey, well, you know, she said something funny, and it's always good to ask somebody when they're kind of laughing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you make a joke, you're laughing, you're like, hey, do you want another drink? And you're like, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So don't ask her if she wants a drink, Tyler. First, I've already told this kid to go on Grindr.
And ask her if she wants a drink.
If she wants alcohol.
Yeah, I did not catch in the original question that they didn't know each other. So that's beautiful.
I mean,
advice.
If you do know each other, defer to the beginning of this answer.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just,
that's
you know,
a minute 38, whatever it was.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, Tyler.
Both of those versions of the advice I think are really good.
Well, Tyler, I think you're really good for just caring enough to ask. And not asking one of your other friends who is in high school and doesn't know jack
shit. Probably doesn't know anything about that.
No, he doesn't know anything.
And definitely let us know what happens. I want to know how this turns out.
It's true. Yeah. We actually have another question. I'm going to skip
great.
It because I need to save because we still haven't talked. I'm just looking at time. We still haven't talked about celebrity shit the bed.
Oh, okay.
Which I didn't tell you what that was.
Nope.
So nobody's going to. I'm the worst at that. So celebrity shit the bed is a moment of the show mm-hmm. where we basically discuss something mm-hmm. that happened either in pop culture.
Okay.
Lindsay and I, mm-hmm. Lindsay Loeffler and I gave Lindsay Lohan advice of what we would give her going on.
Given
advice to Justin Bieber on the show, but also honestly, it really is just for what the fuck you want to talk about. Also, have talked about ISIS. People have talked about sports, not advice, but just like, this is what's going on with the NFL. And I think it's fucking stupid.
Yes.
Yada, yada.
Okay.
So moreover, what celebrity shit the bed is there something in the pantheon? I don't even know if that's the right word.
I think it could
the
be.
Pantheon of the world
that
has been resonating with you for the last week where you're kind of like, you think that's really cool, or you think that's really pisses you off, or you think that needs work, or you're like, this happened and I think it's awesome.
Let's see.
I'm putting you on the spot.
I love it. I like being on the spot. I'm going to come up with something real good. So
real good.
I think that the answer to that question is...
I also think your lipstick color is amazing.
Really? Because I've been extremely self-conscious of the fact that it's coming off right now.
No, not really. No. First of all, it's a podcast.
Exactly.
Second of all, it's a great matte red.
It is a great matte red. It's Diva by MAC Cosmetics.
Oh, there
you might
go.
Know them.
I do know them.
It's a lovely deep berry red
It
color.
Is a deep berry red. Looks
it's
great
fantastic.
On you.
Oh, well, thank you. So what is it that I'm super stoked on right now? Okay, you know what? This is it. And it's controversial, and I just came from this Comic-Con where people were like, meh. I'm really, really, really excited for the Suicide Squad movie. And I can say that.
I'm excited for it, too.
So many people are saying, like, bleh, this is, like, the Hot Topic version of the Joker and, you know, all of these other things. Like, why is Will Smith in it? It's like he's, like, the superstar that's hidden in this, you know, weird, this not star role of this movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that trailer. I think Jared Leto is very interesting.
Did it premiere at Comic-Con?
It did. There was a leak, and then they released it right after. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. It's beautiful.
Oh, I'm going to see it.
They also did that thing that I really, really, really get annoyed with oftentimes, where they take like a happy pop song and they like rearrange it so that it's very operatic and dark.
Oh, yeah.
Like they did it with Maleficent. And they just did it
that
with
that. That was a terrible movie.
Yeah, I didn't even see it.
I was so excited for the movie, and it's terrible.
The movie's terrible, but did you see the shoes that Christian Louboutin made for Angelina Jolie to wear to all the premieres? Because they're amazing.
No, I will do that.
You need to look at those. Okay. Those are amazing. The Maleficent Louboutins.
Hashtag later.
Yeah.
Do that later. I'm excited about that movie. Well, I really like the woman that cast as Harley Quinn.
Yeah, she seems
great.
She's great. And I just recently read that she's like 24.
Oh, well, I think it could be a little bit like Guardians of the Galaxy, where people are like, what is this? It seems kind of odd. And it could really kind of be a runaway.
I'm super excited for it. There are people who are up in arms about it. And I said, I'm going to go on record as being in pro Suicide Squad movie camp.
All right.
I'm stoked on that.
I'm more excited about that than what they're going to do with Wonder Woman.
Oh. I mean, maybe it could be good. No, looks beautiful.
She looks beautiful. Yeah. I actually like the costume.
Mm-hmm. She looks great.
But it's not about my thing right
She
now.
Looks great. I feel like I've been bummed out about some celebrity something recently, and I'm trying to think of what
it... I love that you love Suicide Squad. I love that.
Oh, my goodness. I'm really excited. And you need to see that trailer. It's beautiful. Let's see.
No, I mean, you can think of other stuff, but that was perfect.
No, that's what's on my heart right now.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, we've still got Chatty Maddie left.
Oh,
so
great. Perfect.
We've still got a portion.
I love it.
We're taking the ride.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay, so Chatty Maddie people think I'm going to be upset that they haven't listened to my show. But I actually like it when they don't, because then they're like, what's happening? I see a little bit of the look of fear and excitement in your eyes.
It puts me on the spot. It's nice.
I like it. So, Chatty Maddie questions. Same questions. My dog is obsessed with you.
I love this
either
dog.
That or she loves that new chair I got.
It could be a mix of both.
I think it's a bit of both. She needs to be groomed. My groomer's out of town. she got married. Whatever.
Congratulations.
I'm happy Jess Rona got married. Okay. Chatty Maddie questions. These are the same five questions I ask at the end of every show.
Okay.
So question number one.
Yep.
What's your most memorable childhood smell? Or favorite?
My most memorable childhood smell is probably a perfume called L'Air de Tom that my mother wore. And I remember her electing to not wear it anymore after Silence of the Lambs came out, because it's what Hannibal Lecter smells on Clarice in one of those opening scenes. And my mom was like, I'm never wearing that again.
And she didn't anymore?
And she didn't anymore. But I can never forget the smell of that perfume. So that was probably around age 5.
That messed that up for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, big time. She was like, hell no, I'm not
but
doing
so
that.
But so now when you see that, it makes you laugh?
Every time. Every what? Time I smell it, I'm like, oh, I remember those days.
What does it smell like?
It's very, it's kind of like a, do you remember that? It was like a body splash or something called Jean Nate.
No, I don't. They probably were pissed that they said that perfume.
I know. They probably, it's a very clean kind of crisp smelling perfume. And I think it was put out by Estee Lauder, maybe?
Maybe.
There's somebody somewhere is up in arms being like, no, it was Donna Karen or something.
No, Estee Lauder has Youth Do. They're fine.
Yeah, no. It was something like that.
Love Youth Do. I do. Okay. Chatty Maddie question number two. What would be the name of your memoir?
The name of my memoir would be, I am in my room watching The West Wing.
That was so quick. That was so quick. Usually everybody's like, what?
No, it's funny because I was just joking about that with someone today. I was like, yeah, all this drama's going on around. People are starting new relationships. And I'm just in my room watching The West Wing.
You love The West Wing, do you?
I love The West
Wing. Never seen it.
Oh, goodness.
I've heard. I know. I've
Maddie.
Heard.
Oh, gosh. You need to see it.
Is it a Netflix, Amazon
Prime? It's a Netflix.
I saw Allison Janney at, first of all, she's great in Mom.
You will fall in love with her again so hard.
I saw her in August, Osage County, the play.
Oh, God.
The play was so good. Movie not.
No. Movie was so
good. But she was so good in that. Sorry, is it the Amundsen? Whatever, downtown.
Yeah.
All right. Gosh, I love that.
Do
that
it.
So
do
quick.
West Wing.
You have a key necklace. What does the key mean?
The key is, this is actually a gift from my mom. I have another one from my cousin, and it's a really cool, it's an NPO called The Giving Keys. Where they just take these, you know,
NPO,
these
nonprofit organization.
Nonprofit
people.
Organization.
With not, people just haven't caught up with abbreviation yet.
I know. I'm getting sucked into it too.
Still, somebody's watching Total Request Live right now going, what the fuck is NPO?
Exactly.
What is this?
Exactly.
Give me my Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Help.
Help.
So these are like found keys or whatever. That they just kind of write these really inspirational words on, like breathe and love and faith, and sell them. And a percentage of the proceeds go to feeding the homeless. So that makes it kind of special.
Wow.
And also my mom was like, you're going through a lot. Here's a reminder to breathe.
That's what's on your thing, breathe?
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I have like a bracelet called myintent.org.
Oh, there you go.
Thing, and it says joy.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Nice reminders.
Okay. Chatty Man question number three. Mm-hmm. What day in your past would be your Groundhog Day?
Oh.
The day you'd live over.
What day in my past would be my Groundhog Day? You know what?
What? Do it. We can pause. It's okay to have silence.
It would probably be, if I had to do my Groundhog Day, the first day that popped out in my mind was my wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was a beautiful day. All my family was there. Every single person that I've ever cared about. I was getting ready to marry my best friend. And it was the first time that my parents had spoken in like 17 years, and they were speaking to each other so lovingly, and we had a great party, and it was,
oh, wow.
It was a beautiful, beautiful day. And actually the 1 year, our would be wedding anniversary is tomorrow. So that's probably why it's on my mind. But I would say that would be my Groundhog Day.
I love that you can come be where you are and still see the beauty in that.
Yeah. It's great.
You should tell people how to divorce. All right. Chatty Matter question number four. What's the best piece of advice you wish you had taken earlier?
Oh, gosh. The best piece of advice would be when someone tells you who they are, believe them.
Oh, that's a Maya Angelou quote, isn't it?
That's a Maya Angelou quote, and it's been...
That is the truth. That came up for me about 2 years ago.
Yeah, and it's always something that people are like, hey, if somebody says something about themselves, like, you know... I have a tendency to be crazy, or I like to light things on fire, or whatever.
Or
you know?
I'm probably, or I run from relationships.
Exactly. Or I'm don't speak to any of my exes, or I don't speak to my mother. If anybody says that to you, ladies, I don't speak to my mom. Think real hard about what you're doing, because that's rough. That's rough.
Yeah.
I would say that if I had that piece of advice, there would have a handful of relationships, a handful of. I mean, and that applies to jobs. It applies to everything.
No, yeah.
That would be, I would love to have taken that advice in certain situations. That, and also don't drink red and white wine in the same night.
Nope.
I still ignore that advice as an adult woman. It just seems like such a good idea.
I don't like it. I like to stick to one and I'm good.
And I still make that mistake because I'm like, well, it's just going to mix in there and be like rosé.
I can't do white wine. It's a bad hangover.
Yeah,
white wine.
No. Especially the Chardonnay, like the really sweet white wines.
Yeah,
I can't do it. I can't do that anymore.
Not me.
I just don't bounce
back.
I
want like a Chianti, a Cabernet, Malbec.
I don't have the joints for it.
You know what that means?
I get super dehydrated and then my joints hurt.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't even know what that means.
That's right. All right. Last question. Chatting about question number five. When are you most inspired?
I am most inspired when I am working with my team. That's when I feel the best. When I'm with my team at a show, we're talking about our stuff. We're coming up with ideas. We're talking to our fans. That's when I feel the most free and the most inspired for sure. Hands down.
I love it. Well, we got to wrap it up because I smell that soup. It's cooking. But tell people again where they can. Do you tweet? Do you Insta? Tell them where they can find everything because some people look at my show notes and some people don't.
Okay. Well, we are, again, Hex Comics. We create a comic book series called Hex 11. That's H-E-X. We are at Hex Comics. .com, HEXCOMIX, and we are Hex Comics on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr. I think we started a Pinterest page.
Oh, wow.
And then we are also Hex Comics on Kickstarter as well, where there's actually a very funny video that you should watch.
Oh, nice.
So check that out.
Nice. Do you do your own personal tweet and stuff like that or no?
Yeah, I'm actually the social media manager for our company.
Oh, okay.
Along with my dear friend Casey Gates, who is the campaign manager for our Kickstarter, and she's fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, thank you. I'm so glad you're pretty, and I wanted to do your makeup 12 years ago when we met.
Me too. It's so good to see you after all this time.
Wonderful. And you and me and Lisa and we're gonna have some downtime.
I am so excited.
I'm probably will send that email tomorrow.
Okay, good. I really want to do that.
Yeah,
I really want to make that happen.
I would love that. Love that.
Please, please, please. And I want to be back on the show. This is so fun.
Oh, yes.
Yes. All the time.
Yes and yes. Yes and yes.
Yay.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. You can go to DearMaddieShow.com. Questions. They really do matter. This is we're doing a November sweeps. We had some good episodes coming up. We had Kelly. We have my friend Rick Coons, who's coming on the show, who's a therapist who really has shit together, but worked a lot with sex addiction and just addiction period. So I'm really interested to have that show. Paul Gilmartin is coming on, which is kind of podcast royalty of the Mental Illness Happy Hour.
Awesome.
Jackie Cation from from Dork Forest. I mean, who is a nerd, but from Dork Forest. So it's going to be a good week in November. So it took a couple of weeks off in October to go to Oklahoma and have the family meet the boyfriend. And
Woo!
That went well and all that good stuff. But
Yay.
Now we're back, and I can't wait. We're gonna take you into the new year, everybody.
Woohoo!
So, again, iTunes and Stitcher. And if something people ask, like, how can I support the show? One good thing that you could do to support the show, write a review on iTunes. That would be great.
Awesome.
Or Stitcher, whatever. That's the best for us. So, thank you, Kelly Sue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And everybody, do something for someone this week, and we'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.